He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Dr. Brown, what's going on? How are you?
Morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. I felt like singing to you. I'm sorry.
What a quite the greeting. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's something. It's something. Not everyone gets that greeting. That's for sure. It might be a little pep in my step because it's back to school time, and I always love this time of year. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I love it.
School shopping.
Right? Even though I'm not going to school, I myself get really excited. I might frequent Staples, get myself some new school supplies.
I know. You might need a trapper keeper.
But you never know. I mean, I did get myself four new pens for the office, and I have hidden them because I don't trust my colleagues to steal them. So it's a good time. It's a good time. What's not that great of a time, though, is I was reading an article a few days ago, actually. Atlanta College, which is a private college, I will say, is requiring face masks for the next 2 weeks because of the uptick in COVID cases across the country. And they're not the only college I've heard of debating bringing back mask requirements for their student population. What can you tell us about the COVID numbers? Why are they jumping? And what do you think about mask mandates?
Yeah, so it's very interesting. And again, I've heard some companies also in California and some other areas that they are actually doing mask mandates.
Really?
I think Lionsgate was one of them that just recently put it in.
No kidding.
So, and I think they're doing it. So they're doing it, at least from a company standpoint, because they're having clusters. So people are getting sick.
Okay.
People are getting sick. So they're actually saying on certain floors and certain aspects, then you need to wear a mask, which is sort of back to the really following the patients and, you know, following anyone who has a contact with a patient that's there. We kind of knew that this was going to happen. I found this to be a little bit earlier. I expected it to be a little bit closer to closer to September. But I'm not necessarily surprised. This is usually the time where things get a little cooler, people start gathering a little bit more. I know we've had a lot of rain. Start getting closer together, and this is how viruses spread. So getting close to each other and getting in closer areas, and I don't think this is necessarily done. I think we're going to probably start seeing more in the fall. And you start to put large groups of people together, that's when you start spreading it. And masks are still the main way to reduce the spread of this virus.
Interesting. Okay. It is interesting, Dr. Brown. I'm wondering if COVID symptoms have changed at all. And the reason I ask that is because I have also heard in the month of August specifically, I've heard of more and more people contracting COVID, especially the older population. I noticed some of my parents' friends have contracted COVID, but they didn't know it was COVID, actually. It would be like a stomach bug that they thought, or they thought it was like, maybe it's allergies, But I'm wondering if COVID is still the same, or has it changed or developed into anything? Like, are there new symptoms that maybe people aren't aware could be COVID?
So COVID has definitely changed. I mean, it's not the killer that it was, in early 2020. Definitely not. And I think, we have herd immunity to thank for that. We have the vaccines to thank for that. So all those things and then we have people who've actually gotten it to thank for that also. So it's definitely not the same virus that it used to be. Our bodies have now seen it. Our bodies now have some antibodies to it. So when it does show up, we fight it off in a different way, which also, and the virus itself has become a little bit, I'll use the term weaker. It's now a little bit more like the COVID cold. The problem is that any virus, including the flu, any virus, you don't know, you can't predict what percentage of people will get really sick from it. Mm. And there are still people who end up getting really sick, end up needing to go on the ventilator. It's a lot less, but it's definitely happening. So the problem is that it has changed. And for the majority of the people, or the people that I'm coming in contact with, are having minor symptoms. Still being sick, but not those severe symptoms. But there are a few that still get really sick from it. And again, there's that spread that can go to anyone. It's someone who is immunocompromised, who's had, has multiple illnesses, are going to be at higher risk. And that's the problem.
You know what else is interesting? We're talking to Dr. Brown of Griffin Health, and right now we're talking about COVID. I was reading something earlier this week, Dr. Brown. I think it was out of Rutgers University, a study that said being exposed to the common cold could boost your COVID immunity. And what I thought was interesting about that is there's so many times that in the beginning of the pandemic, it was like COVID and the flu are not the same thing. So just because you get the flu shot does not mean you're going to protect yourself from COVID and vice versa. Just because you get the COVID shot doesn't mean you're going to protect yourself from the flu. But what I thought was interesting was this study, if I read it correctly, was saying the common cold and COVID are both coronaviruses. So researchers say people who've been exposed to the cold may also build up pre-existing immunity to its genetic cousin. This is how you know I didn't go to school to be a doctor, because I'm like, wait,
no,
what?
This is great.
This is so confusing to me, though.
it's actually not. I'm glad you actually clarified that, because so when we talk about the common cold, what we're talking is a constellation of viruses. One of the most common causes of the common cold is a virus called the rhinovirus. And interesting enough, called the rhinovirus because rhino nose, it causes a lot of upper respiratory tract and you know, runny noses.
Mm.
So that's actually part of a common cold. There's things called adenovirus, and there's all these other viruses that are there. One of the viruses that causes the common cold is a coronavirus. So that's actually not new. That's been around for a long time. In fact, people who have exacerbation, so worsening of their underlying lung disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, there could be up to 50% of them who actually have coronavirus.
But not COVID-19.
But not COVID-19. So they're actually different. They're actually completely different. Genetically, they're completely different. They're still in the same family, but there is a big variance between the two. There's an alpha coronavirus and a beta coronavirus. The one that usually infects us is the beta coronavirus. That was the one before COVID-19.
Okay.
That's when this came out, they said, oh, the novel. Remember they were calling it the novel coronavirus?
Yes.
Because it was actually a big difference between the two. Now, it's still a coronavirus. So therefore, if it's a coronavirus, there's no reason to think that you wouldn't be able to have some cross reactivity between the two, because it is the same family. So it's the same family virus. It's not influenza is the influenza virus. It's a completely different virus.
That's what I was going to ask. So the flu
That's
is
correct.
Not a coronavirus.
The flu is not a coronavirus. The coronavirus is a coronavirus. And then SARS. SARS-1, SARS-2, MERS, there's a couple other ones that are there. Those are all special novel types of coronaviruses that our immune system has not seen the full effect of, but have seen probably a little bit of a coronavirus in the past. So, yes, that's absolutely true and absolutely the case. You know, so yeah, and this will probably start looking more and more like a common cold if evolution goes the way it does. This should start look more and more like a common cold. The problem is that if you go to your work, school, or whatever, the common cold, you'll have a coworker, right? Melissa, you have a coworker that's sick. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get sick from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Coronavirus is a little bit different. At least COVID-19 is a lot different, because if that person is sick next to you, the likelihood that you're going to get sick is actually pretty high.
Yeah.
So it's way more infectious, and that's sort of the key, is that you're actually trying to prevent people from getting sick. Because it's penetration, because it's more infectious than other viruses. So I think that's what they're trying to do. So all these kids are going to go to school, and then they're all going to be out because they're all sick.
Okay, so this is just to make sure that they're stopping people from all literally coming into school 1 week, and then next week it's like you've got two kids in the classroom of 20. I see.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the risk, again, as I mentioned but earlier, the risk that if, you know, God forbid, if they're one of the unlucky ones that ends up getting really sick from it. That's a big deal to deal with. But yes, I mean, if you weren't careful about this, you would literally go to school and then the next, you know, and again, we all went to college, you know, dorm rooms or anything else kind of training.
We've been to big groups, relationships.
And, you know, even camps. I mean, these are big camp times, and this is maybe why we're seeing an increase.
Right.
Because anytime that you're putting people closer together with an organism as infectious as coronavirus, mostly you're going to spread it.
We have Dr. Brown here, and he's just proving the point as to why you need to consult with your doctors and not just listen to the media. And listen, I am the media. Okay, I'm a little baby portion of the media. But when I'm reading about the common cold and COVID-19 and how they're cousins and, you know, you could have immunity if you get the cold. So what you proved to me, Dr. Brown, is the fact that I find in the last 3 years, when you're reading stories, people will say like the coronavirus pandemic or coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. And that is accurate. But at the same time, it's not fully accurate, because when you're reading about it, coronavirus is such a broad spectrum of viruses, essentially. And COVID-19 is just kind of like this portion of coronavirus that we've just really never seen before. Like, we don't know what the extent of it is going to be. So it's kind of misleading is what I'm getting at. And
that's exactly right. Yes, correct. You know? I couldn't have said it better.
Thank
myself.
You. That's all I'm thinking about.
Nice summary.
Well,
I like that a lot more.
You know what?
You.
I try to think. I try to be thoughtful during the commercial breaks. I try not to just kind of like sit around and twirl my thumbs. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, do you know how many articles I have read over the last 3 years and how many times I have reported on COVID-19 in the last 3 years? And I think to myself, I kept calling it COVID-19 only because I felt like saying coronavirus was just so not natural. So I kind of avoided it. But I'm kind of glad I did, just for my own preferences, not even knowing that saying coronavirus is kind of like a very broad thing to say, when that could be anything. Really, I mean, it could be any of these viruses, like the common cold or whatever. Like you're saying, the rhinovirus would be considered a coronavirus. So I don't know. Just consult your doctor. That's all I'm getting at. Please consult your doctor. If you've learned anything from today's show, consult your doctor on everything.
That's right.
This is something else you'd want to consult your doctor on, especially if you are expecting. The FDA did officially approve the first ever RSV vaccine, which would specifically be for pregnant women far along in their pregnancy for their newborn babies. Talk about really the significance of this, Dr. Brown, and why maybe, you know, doctors you're talking to would encourage pregnant women to get this vaccine.
Absolutely. And I was able to pull up a few numbers, too, so we can go over those. But yeah, so respiratory virus is one of the major causes of severe respiratory illness in children, in particular newborns who have not been exposed to the virus themselves. And this leads to hospitalizations and can lead to really some devastating things. So this is quite the breakthrough, because honestly, it's tough to give a vaccine to a brand new newborn, you know, and their immune systems may not even be, technically, the immune systems aren't ready to even handle that until several weeks to months, after birth. What they found is that by giving this vaccine into pregnant females, they found that there was an 82% reduction in severe respiratory virus infection after 90 days after birth. That's a big number. That's really impressive.
That's huge.
It's down to 70% within 180 days. And that's fine, because at that point you could even consider vaccinating a child somewhat after that time. So it is actually really good. And they've been able to review this. And again, people's always concern is, well, what's the safety of it? And the safety was very good. So they found that there was minimal to no side effects. Side effects included, injection site pain, headache, muscle pain, nausea. And then they always have to say this, but there's always a risk for things like preeclampsia, which is, a dangerous hypertensive disorder, so high blood pressure. But again, that actually is always a risk of pregnancy anyways. So it's not, I wouldn't consider that to be a big risk.
Okay. All right. So you would recommend that pregnant women get this? I mean, again, consult with your doctor, but this...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think looking at it and looking at the clinical studies from the FDA and the CDC, I mean, it's an effective vaccine, and it's going to be effective for one of the leading causes of severe illness in newborns. So
interesting. I thought this was really another thing, actually, really quick, going back to COVID, because I know we had a number of people in Connecticut get the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine, and Johnson & Johnson ended up in the news again, not because of its COVID vaccine this time, but it says J&J, after 6 months of merging its infectious disease and vaccine units, they are cutting research and development for that unit altogether. But this was specifically working on an E. coli preventative vaccine. And continuing to, I guess, provide access to marketed HIV products. But now the company altogether is saying, you know what, like, we're done here. We're not going to continue on. I have gotten a couple of questions from people who got the J&J vaccine. At this point, Dr. Brown, because it's been at least two and a half years at this point since getting the COVID vaccines, the first round of them, should people be concerned with the aftermath of that product? Like, is this something that they should be concerned with? I know J&J stopped making its COVID vaccines. They're now kind of halting all of their work on, like, an E. coli vaccine. And I have had a couple of inquiries, actually, in the last couple of months, or weeks, I should say, people who are concerned about the J&J vaccine. At this point, you would know if there was something wrong, right?
Maybe. Correct. That's okay. Exactly right. So most of the effects that we had from any of the vaccines, in particular the J&J vaccine, was almost, I mean, I wouldn't say immediate, but within, you know, you'd expect to see it pretty quickly. If you haven't had symptoms from it or side effects from it now, you're fine. In fact, it's still an effective vaccine. It just wasn't as effective as the other vaccines that are out. And that's why people basically said, you know, there was some, you know, there are some side effects and some risks associated with it. It wasn't as effective. So those risks were not as so the risk benefit ratio wasn't quite as high as the other ones. But it's still, again, it was still a good vaccine. It still did what it needed to do. And people who didn't get symptoms or any problems with it, they don't need to worry about it.
All right. Well, Dr. Brown, I appreciate you coming on, chatting about all of these topics, including the latest with COVID-19. I tell you, it just doesn't let go. We always have something to discuss about it, it seems. So, Dr. Brown, thank you so much. And we will talk again next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Brown of Griffin Health right here on WICC.